Welcome to the Heart Journey podcast show. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Losove. I'm a minister who also happens to be a psychologist. And today on the show, we're going to talk about forgiveness and how it's linked to trauma and trauma healing. We have a special guest today. We have Dr. Everett Worthington, who is a forgiveness guru. We're going to talk about his REACH program. We're going to talk a little bit about his trauma and forgiveness story. And we're also going to have him in next week's podcast as well. So stay tuned. The freebie today is our freebie that can help with rejection. You can go to Dr. Barbara Ministries.org/rejection and get your free resource, 10 tools for helping you move into more confidence and move out of rejection. I can't wait for you to hear this podcast. It's going to be so healing for you. And I'm share some pieces of my story of forgiveness as well. Thank you so much for joining us on the Heart Journey podcast, Dr. Everett Worthington. Oh my goodness, I'm such a fangirl, and I'm really, really glad to be here with you.
Well, I'm glad to be with you too. This will be fun.
Yes, and I got this little one that wants to be with us as well. So we're talking about, on the Heart Journey podcast, we're always talking about how the Lord calls us to go on a heart journey with Him so that He transforms our heart, so that He abides in our heart more and more, with the end goal of having one heart and one mind with Him, and hopefully with believers as well, that we all go through this transformation. And one of the things I'm amazed over is how many of us struggle with unforgiveness. And yet it's kind of a huge deal in the gospel. And Dr. Worthington, you are a forgiveness specialist. I have cited you in so many papers over the years and also so many teachings. So can you talk to us about what forgiveness is and how it is linked to the healing, the biblical domain of the heart? But let's start out with, what is forgiveness scripturally?
Yeah, forgiveness, I think, is two things, and this is a scientific definition of forgiveness. So one of those is to make a decision to forgive, or decisional forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And that's a decision to, put aside any desire to pay the person back or to get even or to get revenge. And a second part is to treat the person as a valued and valuable person, a person created in God's image. So that's a decision to forgive. But we can make a sincere decision to forgive and still feel unforgiveness. We can feel bitter. We can feel resentful, angry, hurt. Even though we're totally decisionally forgiving. Mm-hmm. So that suggests there must be a second type of forgiveness, which we call emotional forgiveness. And that is to replace negative, unforgiving emotions with positive, other-oriented emotions like empathy or sympathy or compassion or love for the person. So those are the two types of forgiveness. Now, I personally think that decisional forgiveness is really what the scripture is talking about when it talks about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So a decision to forgive is something I can do 70 times 7 times. I can do it, more than that. Mm-hmm. But I cannot always control my emotions. So I think, Jesus is saying, we want you to make a decision to forgive, to not get even, to treat the person as a valued and valuable person. And I would love for you to have emotional forgiveness also, but that's not really the requirement. That's what God desires for us.
Beautiful. What is the research showing as far as the therapeutic power of forgiveness with regard to people who've gone through, let's say, trauma, unmet needs, complex PTSD?
Yeah, so I would say the literature, the scientific literature, is very broad. Mm-hmm. So most of what we do is not to look at clinically, severe unforgiveness, mm-hmm. because everybody pretty much experiences unforgiveness at one time or the other. Yeah. And so we look at that, and that can be very serious. That can be a person who has had a traumatic experience, but just doesn't go and get diagnosed and doesn't, go to a therapist about it, but they're dealing with it in their life. So this, there's a lot of literature studying our REACH forgiveness model and some other models that are kind of broad and general. But then there's the clinically severe type of forgiveness. And that is going to require a lot more time, a lot more effort, a lot more soul searching in order to get to the bottom of that. So Bob Enright has a program he calls Forgiveness Therapy. That takes about 20 sessions on the average. Well, actually, he says 20 as a minimum, and actually more if it's really serious events that people are dealing with. So you can see that the science of this has covered the entire spectrum of things that we deal with in life. Yeah. And I should say that it's, forgiveness is very effective. It not only changes people's unforgiveness into forgiveness, but it also reduces their depression, mm-hmm. reduces their anxiety, increases their sense of well-being, increases their sense of flourishing, increases their hope. So this has a lot of transformative power in people's lives.
Beautiful. In the heart journey method of heart transformation that I've developed, and I've leaned into so many different, both inner healing and clinical modalities with that, even though it's exclusively Christian, so it's a work of ministry, but we go through safety and stability skills. It's uses the three model trauma paradigm. I mean, the three-stage trauma paradigm. So we have safety and stability skills so that we can learn to stay in that window of tolerance. Then we do the memory reconsolidation work, the narrative work. And I start with satisfying unmet needs and having Jesus show up in this memory work so that he can meet the needs, and we work through traumas and boundaries. Then we work on forgiveness. And I like that order, because it, even though we want to walk in as much forgiveness as we can at all times, I think sometimes people use forgiveness to bypass things they need to work through and take it as a spiritual bypass. But if we work through the things in those steps, then when we're forgiving, okay, well, God's met a lot of these needs in me. And so now I can forgive. And one of the pieces personally that's helped me with forgiveness, other than praying for those who persecute me or praying for those who have despitefully used me, so to speak, is also really taking a very deep inventory, kind of 12-step style, of my own character defects, of my own sin patterns. And it's like, okay, wait a minute, I'm forgiven of all these things. And it helps me to not think, okay, like if God's here in his holiness and we're here and I feel like I can jump 10 feet, but you can only jump 8 feet, we're both so desperately in need of his forgiveness compared to his holiness. That has helped me I know that in some of my work in the past, in some of my coursework with students I've had, I've used your reach model. Could you talk about that a bit and maybe also talk about this idea of spiritual bypass and avoiding that?
Yeah. So the reach forgiveness model is the reach is an acronym. So each letter stands for something to help people remember. And that's really about the core of the method. So the method actually has a lot more to it than just the core. So the core of the model is about experiencing emotional forgiveness so that people are more willing and able to make a decision to forgive. Remember, decisional forgiveness, I think, is what Jesus really is calling us to. But when emotions are so high because people have been wounded deeply, then they're not ready to make a decision to forgive. And we don't want to coerce people and, you know, and hold their feet to the fire and say, you've got to forgive, or bad things will happen. So we help people work through these five steps. So recall the hurt, R. We have to face our, pain, and we cannot just, shove it aside and move past it. So recall the hurt and then empathize with the person who hurt us. Mm-hmm. And this is really hard because if somebody's hurt us badly, we don't want to empathize mm-hmm. with them. And that's really hard. So if they can't empathize, often people can sympathize with that person and say, well, I feel sorry for them that they would do such a thing, and then they might feel compassion for that person, which is like sympathy with work boots. It's yeah. like, I feel sorry for them. And I would like to have, to help them. Mm-hmm. And also love, we can use love to replace those negative, unforgiving emotions like resentment and bitterness. And that's especially true when this has been, a family member that has hurt us, a child that's rejected us, a spouse that's, done something that's really been damaging. So R, recall the hurt, E, empathize, but that covers sympathy, compassion, and love. A, give an altruistic gift to the person of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It's altruistic because nobody deserves forgiveness because they hurt us. And so this is a gift out of the goodness of my heart. This is an altruistic gift. And then C, commit to the forgiveness that you experience so that H, you can hold on to that whenever you doubt.
Yes.
Now, once people have worked through those steps to emotional forgiveness, that takes probably, if this is a 6-hour group program, mm-hmm. This may take 3 to 3.5 hours of that 6 hours. Then we invite them to make a decision to treat that person differently, to treat that person as a valuable person, to not to just forswear revenge. Now, that's the core of the method. But there are things that happened before, like we have them identify a hurt to work on. Mm. Now, if a person's hurt us 100 times, the tendency is to say, well, I want to forgive that person. I don't want to, forgive a hurt. But actually, it turns out that every intervention has people work on a hurt. Mm-hmm. And then generalize that by working on another hurt and another hurt until you get to the place where you say, okay, I can forgive that person. I don't have to, remember 1,000 hurts that they inflicted on me. That's enough. I forgive the person. So they pick a hurt and they rate how much they've forgiven that hurt. Usually it's not much at the beginning. And the reason they do that is because after they've worked through this whole method, they're going to fill out that same little questionnaire and show themselves. This is not research. This is just me search, basically. This is just, they're going to show themselves that they have indeed forgiven this person.
Good.
So another thing that we have them do is to reflect on what is the most serious hurt you have ever successfully forgiven. And mostly, if we look back over our lives, we've forgiven these horrendous things over our life. And often, a person says, "Oh, wow, I forgave my father for abandoning me. And now I'm worried about this thing here today. Actually, I've forgiven things much harder than this. So I know I can forgive." So they get a sense that they have done this before, that there's agency involved. And, they can reflect on that and see, did I feel like God helped me to do this? Well, God can help me do this again, So, or maybe last time, I don't feel like God did, but this time, hey, I've got an extra added muscle in this. So that, is like beginning steps. And then we define emotional and decisional forgiveness. And then they work through the core. And after that, then they're going to kind of generalize this by taking other hurts and working through the reach and the decision about that hurt. And then fill out the questionnaire, the same questionnaire again, to show that they have indeed forgiven. So this is kind of the whole method with reach and the decision to forgive as the core of it.
Beautiful. And what is the motivation normally driving people to come into the REACH program?
Usually they feel lousy because, maybe they believe, if they're a Christian, they believe, I ought to forgive. I've tried this 25 times. I just can't get any place with it. So the church has many, many things that we recommend that people do, that they'll go under the heading of practical theology. So there's a lot in scripture about we should forgive and we should make a decision to forgive. There's not any guidance really about how to do that. It's like the Nike version, just do it, Well, that's hard. And so, over the years, the way that body life works is that people work out practical ways to, help people forgive. And the first of those is to pray. I mean, that's numero uno is prayer. And there are so many things we pray about. We can pray about God helping us to forgive, the Holy Spirit being active, pray about, my willingness to forgive, pray for the person to make an apology to me, or which doesn't always happen, but there are probably 15 different things that people typically pray about. They can pray, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. There are just so many prayers we can offer. A second thing that is, part of this practical theology is to kind of look for the blessings. I call it count your blessings. It's like, well, we get blessed. Not only by forgiving, do we free this person on earth, which frees them in heaven in some kind of mysterious way. I don't understand, but it's scriptural. That we have the power to free them in the heavenlies. But not only that, but we receive a blessing when we forgive. And
That's
so we receive physical blessings of calm and often healing of in our body. we receive mental health blessings in which rumination just kind of subsides when we are able to forgive. And that aids us, you know, in getting better of depression or anxiety or anger disorders.
Yeah. I mean, it can be very oppressive, the rumination.
Yeah.
If I could interject about related to that and the prayer briefly, one of the tools that a mentor of mine gave me, and now it's part of my my heart journey method, but it's exactly what you said. It's praying for those who hurt you. And she said, I want you to make a list of the 10 things you want most in your life. And most of the time, for most of us, that's I want to serve the Lord. I want to fulfill my purpose. I want a great relationship with my kids. I want to make an impact in the world, et cetera. Like, you know, I want a financially sustainable life. Whatever it is. But it's usually those 10, you know, they're very similar. And she said, now I want you to tack that up in your closet, and I want you to pray morning and night those 10 things for that person. Mm-hmm. And you know what happened is I changed. Like the burden of the rumination lifted, and it was like a surrendering to God's love by praying those things for this person. But you know what else happened? The person started to change. And so I've incorporated that into my method, the heart journey method for sticky resentments, because it is so effective. So I think I might have caught you mid-sentence, and you were maybe going to talk more after prayer, but that's a story of mine. And I would also love to hear if you have a story, like where you had a sticky resentment and you used some of this.
Yeah. Well, let me kind of go on with some of this, the
sure,
practical
yeah.
theology. You know, I mean, we also kind of search, you know, I call it seek and you shall find. Search the scriptures, you know, see what you find. Look around at your congregation. Are there heroes of forgiveness in your congregation? Are there models in your life that you know that this person is somebody I really admire and I want to copy them in this way?
Yes.
Yeah. So another thing that we do is we restrain ourselves. So there's restraint. So we don't, you know, we use our executive function in our frontal cortex to stop, you know, trying to get even with them, to control myself, to stop being nasty in it may be a passive aggressive way toward the person. So, and then another thing we can do, you know, from practical theology is kind of look around to other ways of, you know, the secular sources say to forgive. So we might look to the arts, to television, to touching movies, to, you know, to science, of course. So there are lots of different ways practically that people forgive.
That's so good. Think about what's feeding your healthy attachment system and forgiveness system, and not watching a whole bunch of shows or movies that are going to fuel that anger.
Yeah. So, you know, what started this was you asked about what is it that motivates people to forgive?
Yes, and I think yes.
We try these things and, you know, often they work, you know, and sometimes they just don't. And so people get frustrated that they've tried these things in the, you know, that the church teaches us to do, and they just haven't worked. So they look then to other ways, because God is at work, you know, in the science of this behind the scenes. So this is just another avenue by which God can work.
Wow. I love the REACH model. I've used the REACH model in some of the work that I've done with students, with Heart Journey students, and fully recommend it. In fact, in next week's podcast, you're going to find out how you can access the REACH tool for free. So make sure you're listening to next week's Heart Journey podcast with a guest where we're going to have Dr. Everett Worthington again. I love you. Let me pray for you. Lord, bless each person listening. God, help each person to see the way forward into forgiveness, to experience the benefits of forgiveness. God, I pray for not just the choice of forgiveness, but emotional forgiveness and real freedom through forgiveness in Jesus' name. Make sure you're following me on all the social medias, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and that you're following this podcast where you listen to podcasts. And did you know we're on YouTube as well? All right. Well, I love you and I will see you soon.